This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Now, the next part is very important. They are going to take you.
Kim, stay focused, baby. This is key.
You will have 5, maybe 10 seconds. Very important seconds.
Leave the phone on the floor. Concentrate.
Shout out everything you see about them. Hair color.
Eye color, tall, short, scars.
Anything you see, you understand? They're there. I can hear them.
Remember, concentrate.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. Today, of course, it is Throwback Tuesday. We have a very exciting lineup for you this week, and I mean that quite literally because we are doing all action all week, and we're starting off with one of the, I don't know how to describe it, it's become a classic in and of itself, a meme in and of itself, it's changed Liam Neeson's career for good. It is 2008's Taken.
You know, Taken is remembered for like four lines of dialogue. Like that's really what it comes down to 12 years later and what people remember it for. And I think a lot of that has to do with just Liam Neeson and that role he plays and the way he delivers those lines. I don't know whether it's held up the best over the course of a decade or so, but it's interesting how much it's shaped this whole genre, because so many other films now came on the wake of that, right? Including John Wick, all of Nicolas Cage in like 5 different variations. So it's interesting how Liam Neeson was never meant to be an action hero, and this was almost an accident.
This movie was never meant to be this entertaining, I think. Like, I remember watching the trailer when it came out, and I thought it's going to be one of those action films that's like okay, or you watch like when you have nothing else to do. This, at that time, this movie had no job being this fun. And I remember watching it and being like completely shocked and going like, what did I just see? And what is happening? And also, like you said, it gave birth to that whole old suburban dad is actually like a black ops machine genre that Liam Neeson sort of was.
That very specific genre.
And a bunch of other movies tried to copycat Taken, including its own sequels. But yeah, at the time, it was just like, I think it took everyone by surprise, like just how insanely entertaining it was.
Can I just say, okay, so as a confession, I've seen Taken in bits and bobs over the years. I missed it when it came out in cinemas. And since then, because it's been on such high rotation, you know, everywhere, I've seen it in bits and pieces. I know they go to Paris. I've seen the camera, you know, the airport photo taking. Like, I've seen all these things, but I hadn't seen it all put together as a film. And so I didn't even realize that, you know, the part where he gives his famous speech about, you know, he has a particular set of skills and all the rest of it. I didn't realize he could have been talking to a bed. It was not, like, it's not clear to me at that point in time that there was someone on the other end of that phone line. And I think when you watch it, it's important to keep in mind that the movie doesn't care. The movie does not actually try to let you know that on the other end of the line is a person. It just wants Liam Neeson to deliver these lines. And so in that same vein, it wants him to go to Paris. It wants him to wreak havoc. It wants him to threaten to tear down the Eiffel Tower. And in all these instances, it doesn't care about the logic. And once you accept that and know that, then you're on the Taken ride.
That's a Taken spin-off idea. Like, show the guy on the other end of the phone and how what he's doing when he's listening to this entire monologue that Liam Neeson is pulling off. And he's just like, how long is this going to take? Like, how long do I have to like be on the phone before this guy finishes?
And let's not forget, it's in the middle of, it's the middle of an abduction. But that's exactly it. I think you have to know what you're getting into when you go into this film, right? Logic is not one of them. But also neither is things like character development. Like, everyone is so tropey. Everyone's persona is that you know exactly what's going to happen. You know what kind of daughter she is. You know what kind of wife it is. And you forget that actually in the 12 years since Taken came out, we've progressed a little bit in terms of how a lot of these characters are depicted, even in very basic films. Taken feels old in that sense. Like, Liam Neeson is the only one who is interesting enough to keep your attention.
Also, the film has no story, like, at all. Like, they literally explain the plot and the story and the ending in the first maybe like half an hour. The moment she is kidnapped, the moment Liam Neeson's daughter in the film is kidnapped, you know what's like you said, you
his
know,
dialogue is the whole story.
It's the whole story. The dialogue's the whole story, and the only thing that holds the film up is the action. And the action is, it has aged, I think it's aged quite well. It's still very fun to watch, and it holds up. But other than that, if you're going in to see a drama or like a, you know, like character development of how this person grows or his arc or whatever, none of that is available in this movie. It's not available in any of the Takens, actually.
So the character development comes in the form of single sentences. You know, Lenny, I don't go by that anymore. I'm Leonore. And then you're supposed to know, oh, they broke up. It was tough. You know, so you're supposed to know that. When his friends come and say, like, you know, you, Brian, we could really use you, then you know he's supposed to be really good at his job. Like, there are all these things that get thrown out in single sentences, and then that is what substitutes character development. And that's fine. I think that generally, the reason why we keep returning to Liam Neeson is because, aside from the fact that he's at the heart of it, is that fundamentally he's a very good actor. It's a little bit difficult to remember that now, you know, so many years down the Taken path. But I think that without his gravitas and his presence, I'm not sure it would have been as watchable at all.
I completely agree. You know, watching Taken, I realized how effective it is when you cast an actor that knows how to own a screen and who knows how to just exude charisma no matter what he's doing. Walking across the street, I could watch Liam Neeson do that for ages.
Buying a karaoke machine.
Yes, exactly. And it helps. It helps get you through so much of this. And that's precisely why it's fun. It's also fun because he's so serious. And then he does things like, I don't know, drive something through someone's skull. Mm. And there's an added layer of just mad, weird fun in watching something like that versus someone that you kind of already expected coming from.
Mm. And he's also, it's the voice. The voice is like so, so important.
And the accent.
And the accent. And just like that deep sort of growl that he has when he's talking to someone. Anyone would be afraid if they had that dialogue coming at them from early Liam Neeson. Which is why I also think that in this genre, there are so many similar films, and they all star Liam Neeson. Like, every filmmaker goes back to signing him.
There's an airline one, isn't there? I vaguely remember an airline one.
So, yeah, a bunch of movies came out after Taken. I remember, like, The Commuter. There's Run All Night. There's Nonstop. Nonstop's the airplane one, the airline one.
There's an Arctic one.
Cold Pursuit. That's Cold Pursuit. The one,
yeah. Clearly, Arvind's an underground Liam Neeson.
I love Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson. And there's one where he fights the wolves.
Yes.
The Grey. Yes.
I'm recalling how many I've forgotten, and I've actually watched all of those.
Mm. Walk Among the Tombstones.
That I haven't watched.
Another one. Yeah.
And then, you know, Schindler's List. So Liam Neeson's come a bit of a long way, right? And I think that, I mean, we could go into the nuts and bolts of why exactly he's gone down this path, but I do think that it all stemmed from the success of Taken. And again, the reason why it's so appealing partly, I think, is because there is no story. It's super simple. And you needed a star. If we look at all the other non-Liam Neeson Takens, all the other movies that try to behave in the same way as a Taken, it's kind of really a crapshoot. They don't always work, and I think they don't always work because they don't understand that the combination here is madness and gravitas, and together you get Taken.
Yes, and it's, I think, no coincidence that the one that comes closest is John Wick, because it plays exactly that same mold, right? You take an actor that already has star presence, and then you put them in any crazy situation, and you'll believe it. And I think it speaks a lot to the action genre in, you know, as a whole, because we're going to be talking about that in our supercard. How important force of personality is in being able to deliver a good action film. Taken has great action, but they could not work without Liam Neeson, even if sometimes you realize it's not him doing the stunts. Mm. It's actually incredibly compelling to watch him work his way through these set pieces and these really terrifying violent scenes.
Also, hot tip, just count the cuts in the action scenes to let you know who you're watching in that moment.
Also, shots from the back of his head. where it's like it's clearly not him and someone like with a weird wig. If they had gone any other way, so they tried this with on Amazon. I think there's a series for Taken. So there's like I don't know how long it lasted.
Oh, the prequel to Taken.
The prequel to Taken doesn't work because Liam Neeson's not there. So they tried to have like a younger Brian Mills. I think it's him. I haven't seen it, but I know that it didn't do well. I read like reviews and stuff. So that's proof enough, right? That if you try to do something with the same template and the same more literally another Taken without Liam Neeson, it kind of, no one ever talks about that show.
We're talking today about Taken from 2008, which was written by Luc Besson, Robert Mark Heyman, directed by Pierre Morel. We want to know, what do you think? How do you feel? Do you wish that you had a dad with a special set of skills and the ability to just make his way to Paris when and if he wants? Basically, have you watched the film? Do you love it? Have you seen it recently? As always, let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Good luck.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. Today, we are throwing back to 2008's Taken. And we spent a lot of time talking about Liam Neeson. I wanted to address the fact that the film was written by two people who know action, Luc Besson, Robert Mark Heyman, directed by Pierre Morel. And I wanted to bring that up partly because I think that action is a very specific genre, and the people who know how to do action well sometimes get underrated as filmmakers, but they shouldn't. Like, I'm not necessarily here making an argument for the entire oeuvre of Luc Besson, but I do think making action thrillers is a very particular set of skills.
You had to go there. I agree, and I think that this film is actually a great example of exactly those things, because if you watch it now, you realize that they actually vary up the settings so much. They vary the kinds of fights you see. You don't see 40 explosions, which is something that has become shorthand now for action film. But you see sort of small hand-to-hand combat. You see a chase scene. You see a fight on a boat. You know, and none of them feel boring. None of them feel repetitive, even though you've actually seen Liam Neeson sort of bulldoze his way through 20 guys by a certain point, but each one feels fresh. And I think that there's an art to realizing what works at which point in the film and to build it up to something.
And I think it works because in Taken and a few other movies that came out around this time and have sort of like set the standard for other action movies is that the fight is very, it's a mix of like bar brawl mixed with like tactician who's learned this for 7 years in some secret mountain somewhere, you know. It's a nice mix. Like Casino Royale does the same thing, the bathroom brawl, same kind of fight. And you feel like the physics and the weight of the people that he's beating up on. And I think that's very important. It's very different from older action films where, like, obviously stuntmen are doing it. So you see them fly around the room and crash through windows and stuff, but there's no weight. There's no weight to the quote-unquote bodies. Taken was one of the first movies I remember watching where I'm like, ooh, that really hit hard. Like, any punch, any kick, anytime someone hits another flat surface, you feel like the brute strength and the pain. You're like, wow, that didn't sound good. And every other movie has followed since. I don't think we get a John Wick without Taken doing that in 2008.
I think that there is also something to be said about the age of Liam Neeson, because it's a very particular thing, right? The fact that he is older. And you needed that because, of course, to believably be the father of a teenage daughter, you'd have to be of a certain age anyway. And I think that there is a particular excitement to watching somebody who is older, who knows how to fight, simply because you understand that the pain is real. You know, when you have younger action stars sort of barreling through things, usually former wrestlers, you know, just kind of like making their way through the world, juggernauting it out. You know, there's pleasure to that too, but it's different from seeing somebody get hurt. Admittedly, Brian Mills gets through, I would say, 80% of the movie without ever taking on even a flesh wound. But the point is, you know he could, and he looks aged. And I think that there is something to be said also about that in the context of an action movie.
I also like that the film balances out the action with a fair amount of quote-unquote detecting or spy work. I mean, it's not the best, but I think it's enough for this film. And it kind of paces it in between quite nicely. And I think Liam Neeson works those angles pretty well. So it's, I guess what I'm trying to say is that Taken, surprisingly, for all that you remember it for being all about the action, there are significant parts of it which are not necessarily full-on fights. There are moments where he's sort of fooling a group of people into believing he's someone he's not. There are moments where he's looking at some pretty old tech and trying to figure out where a particular voice came from, a particular image came from. And I quite like it. I quite like that the action is kind of interspersed in between things that he's supposed to be an operative, and they don't make him out to be just a hitman. He actually has skills other than beating people up.
Mm. But on the flip side of that, it never stops being dumb. like the movie never lets up. Like, honestly, there's not a single smart thing in this entire film. Like, how long is it? Like 90 odd minutes? It's very short, very compact. So it's like super easy to watch at any given time. And the films just keep getting dumber and dumber. But even starting out at the original Taken, that was like, I think, more successful than the second and third, it never plans on being intelligent or tactful in the way it's like plotting out how he's doing these things. It's kind of disguised like it is, like it could work. But logically, even if you poked like a single hole in the story that they're trying to tell, it'll completely fall apart. But if we're making it sound smarter than it is, just like, honestly, it's not. Like, it never is.
He recognizes a man's voice with dead certainty, like dead certainty from one phrase that he apparently tricks him into repeating by asking him to translate a phrase. Come on. I do also want to say that despite enjoying, and I really did, the action and the sheer silliness, the sheer energy of the film, I did have issues with it, and the issues primarily lie in the female characters, because ultimately what this comes down to, so you can look at it a few ways, right? It's a father trying to protect his daughter, and that's the most wholesome version of it. The other version, of course, is that it's a daughter who's being sold into, you know, trafficking, human trafficking. And in that situation, her chastity is so precious and so, it essentially keeps her alive long enough for her father to see her, to find her. And the movie is not subtle about it. The movie is as dumb about that as it is about everything else. And I do think that that part hasn't aged well at all.
No, it hasn't. And that feeds into the tropiness that I mentioned earlier, right? I mean, they emphasize over and over again that she's a virgin, for instance. The fact that they talk about it, that it just left a weird taste in my mouth, coupled with just how they had already built up people like his ex-wife and how she's just flatly painted as someone who has no clue what it's like to parent. Then the daughter who, yeah, it just feels like an outdated trope. I don't know, again, why I didn't necessarily feel this way when I watched it in 2008, but definitely now when I watch it, I'm like, nah, I don't think this is something that I like to watch.
Yeah, that's true. So, and none of those things have aged well at all. I don't even think it was appropriate back then, but somehow I just made it into the movie. I think a lot of people excuse that stuff because it's in this sort of, it's foiled as like a dumb action film that's trying to say something or trying to make a statement or what. It's kind of obvious that they wanted to make some statements to do with the human trafficking element. It's really, really obvious. But I think if you want to say those things, or you want to touch on like very heavy subject, you should get people who can write heavy subjects or understand the subject more.
I also think that part of it is the Europeanness of it, because it is a very European film. It's actually a French production more so than it is Hollywood. And I think that if you look at what's available on European television, on French television, so the association tends to be that it's very atas and art house, that, you know, if you're talking about European films, it veers that way. But the truth is that Luc Besson is totally a product of, you know, the French movie system, which is to say that the sort of strobing lights quality, the sort of, you know, slightly lo-fi look of the film.
Some club in Berlin.
Correct. Coupled with the kinds of sensibilities around women and families that we're seeing. I don't think that, I think it's worth pointing out that we can't actually put the blame on Hollywood here. This is not really a Hollywood production.
It isn't. And, I'm glad, I have to say, that we've moved beyond some of these portrayals. The fact that I don't think we can necessarily having women in a plot just to make a guy look like a hero, no matter what awful things happen to those women, I think is a trope that we can very safely leave behind. And I'm glad that we're moving further and further away from it.
Honestly, I would even say that even if you snipped all those parts out of the film, it would still be the same film. Like, it would be half an hour of the exact same movie. So that would say a lot. That should tell you how important and how shallow the thought behind all of those things were. You can literally you can condense it to half an hour and it would work the exact same way. And I would bet that the people who reviewed it would give it the same review.
I just wanted to say, Arvind did say just a while ago, he loves all of these movies.
I love Liam Neeson. And the action in the movie is up there. And I would give Liam Neeson a shot like in any of these films. But they are just dumb films.
And they made so many more. We've been talking today about Taken, the original one from 2008. We want to know, do you remember watching it? Do you remember loving it? Have you revisited it? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.